Talk about a safety hazard.
This has got to stop. I mean, I think court storming's fine, but surely you can get security to the point where player safety's not involved like it is over here.
The NCAA should ban court storming in every conference across the board.
It's just not safe to have the court being stormed.
All right, everyone, welcome to episode 30, I think it is, of Storm the Court podcast. Got a special, two special guests today. First time we've ever done, I've done multiple guests, but I figured it was kind of time to collab with these guys, so to speak. I got none other but the Mixtape Boys. I got Coley and Tyler. What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Nothing, just watching the Knicks before I get to watch a real basketball team on Friday in Kentucky.
I was going to say condolences. I'm sorry to hear that about the Knicks.
Nothing like a Knicks-Nets game on a Wednesday night to just get you jazzed up.
Prime time.
Can you guys please win that game? The Nets have already, like, blown past their projected win total for the season.
Yeah, they've got three, which is just – I don't think anybody expected them to have three before, like, the turn of the calendar year.
I'll say they're looking pretty scrappy. I don't think six is out of question.
Their starting lineup is so bad.
Yeah, I could name maybe three of them.
Well, two of them were injured today.
Good.
But but they're up seven in the first.
Of course. God damn it.
I mean, and the first shot of the game was a Brook Lopez three. So that kind of sums up the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, even more rare than that, John Wall just hit a three. And let's see, here comes a dunk. Yep, the Wizards are up 25-4 on the Boston Celtics.
At least you have the third quarter.
Is that bad? That seems bad.
My sources are telling me it's not what we would call good.
So, obviously, this is going to feature a little bit of everything. Obviously, Storm the Court's more college basketball. Mixtape kind of does more NBA. So, we'll combine the two. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I know Tyler won't. We're both UK guys. And as Coley said, he's not a UK guy.
Correct.
So I'm not going to apologize for a lot of Kentucky talk on tonight here.
Tonight or for the rest of the year, so you've been warned.
Right. I mean, it's fascinating watching them. I think, Coley, maybe for you more than me and Tyler, kind of being away from it all, how they just reload year after year. I mean, you get guys, and it's four or five guys that you know are going to be there 1 to 2 years, and they're most likely first-round draft pick, early second-round draft picks. I mean, from an NBA guy, do you kind of watch Kentucky and automatically assume someone's going to be an all-NBA player out of that group?
At least I'm expecting like two top 10 picks. Like, right. All-NBA is certainly – I mean, James Harden's not even all-NBA.
I forgot how ridiculous it is with things like that.
He's got some work to do, man.
So like, I definitely – like, Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, these kind of players, I'm like, all right, yeah, I could absolutely see multiple All-Star games and stuff like that. Julius Randle, I was very high on the second he came out. So I definitely do see I have higher expectations for Kentucky than I do for the vast majority of schools in terms of recruiting classes.
Yeah, Randle, he's interesting because I was reading today like kind of a scouting report on him coming out of college and to today. You know, he was a terrible defender in college. They showed a gif of him just getting blasted by a screen just because he wasn't looking and just ran directly into it. You said you were high. Tyler, are you surprised at all with how good he is this year?
I am and I'm not. Like, coming into the draft, I knew he wasn't going to go that high just because, like, there are certain, you know, physical limitations.
Right. Like no right hand.
Yeah, like that. Having one hand, that's a red flag. He's shorter than usual. He's not a great athlete. But, like, again, if you watch the season, he can play. The things he can do translate. Now, he has added a few things, which I'm happy to see. I'm still waiting to see that right hand, hopefully, like a bit of the right hand, but he's pushing the pace. Like, he's grabbing, running fast breaks, is stuff he didn't get to do much in college, so I'm glad his game's progressing.
Yeah, I think he should almost go opposite and just say fuck the right hand and just be so dominant left hand and just try to beat everybody that way.
I mean, like Tristan Thompson switched hands and still not very good. So, like, if you've got one good one, like, you might as well ride it out.
You're a step ahead of Tristan Thompson, at least, if you have one good one.
Yeah, and he's got a ring, so, and like, wow. $80 million. So there's that.
Yeah, that's the money is the important thing there, because a lot of people have rings that probably shun it. So, you know, watching college basketball heading into this year, the freshman class is absolutely loaded. I mean, when you talk about just pure talent, NBA talent, do you guys get scared? You know, it's kind of like an NBA guy looking at college basketball. Do you guys get scared off with freshmen, or is it just screw? They're the best players. You obviously get the extra years of growth with them if you know you draft them after freshman year as opposed to a junior or senior. What's kind of your take with the one and done rule, especially this year with the you know the Markelle Fultzes of the world, the Dennis Smiths, Harry Giles, Jason Tatum? You know, I mean, the race for number one is pretty open this year.
Yeah, I hate that they force people to go to college.
I am
pretty much an NBA guy. So, like, when it comes to college, I watch Kentucky and I'll watch Duke ever since they, Coach K decided to switch up his scouting, the way he goes about his scouting. So, like, I'm such a fake scout. Like, that's really all I care about. Like, I don't even like the NCAA tournament. I wish they just went to, like, playoffs. I think it would be so much more entertaining. But the gambling community would never allow that.
No.
Never. But, I'm all, like, the only reason they make these kids go to college is to save NBA GMs from themselves. Anything else, and to save the own product of college basketball. Anyone else says anything other than that, they're just lying. So I'm definitely bullish on taking college freshmen. Those are who I scout more. I kind of like a guy like Ivan Rabb, for example. I almost told against him that he went back because if I don't see big time improvement, it knocks him down severely in my eyes.
Right.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like I don't like you should be able to come out of middle school if you want. Like if you're ready, like just like I can't remember a single thing I learned in 10th grade. So like if you can come out of middle school, go for it. So I'm against the one and done rule, but since we do have it, I'm glad Cal is like, yeah, like if you're gonna spend 4 months caring about school, pretending to care about school, you might as well do it in Lexington. So I'm glad we kind of got like a farm system, so I can get an early eye on some of these guys before they go in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement with you guys. As more of a college basketball fan, I wish the NBA got rid of the one and done rule. I mean, as much as I love being able to watch the Karl Anthony Towns, the Anthony Davises, Jabari Parkers, you know, all the guys that you know you list when it comes to the one and dones, let them go make their money. I don't care. They're still going to be in college basketball world. They'll still be a star because there still will be the Buddy Hields of the world, the Steph Currys that make their name in college basketball. Like you said,
but no. And it's still going to be terrible GMs.
Yeah, you're still going to fuck up. The one and done rules, you're still going to fuck up.
Yeah, like if you've got 0-1, 4 years of scouting, the Kings are going to make a terrible pick. It doesn't matter.
Well, they'll just draft another Kentucky big guy.
Or just a big guy in general. If you got like 9 centers.
They really do. If somebody asked today, is there anything they can do with DeMarcus Cousins to help him besides trade him?
Yeah, go get John Wall.
I mean, yeah, if they could just get Wall and Bledsoe out there somehow, he'd be the happiest guy in the world.
I was glad that question was asked. I did some research. They need to stop drafting like shit. That's what's going to help Boogie out.
Yeah, I mean, taking like what, Nick Stauskas, what, 8th overall?
No, I'm glad you said it. I've got the history here, Bubba. Boogie was 2010. 2011, they drafted Biyombo. Ended up trading him and ended up with Jimmer.
Oh, God.
Within the next 5 picks, Brandon Knight, Kimball Walker, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard.
Any of them.
Any one of those.
Literally just one.
To be fair, they would absolutely have fucked up Kawhi Leonard. Like, as great as he is, they would have fucked him up. And also,
20%.
Also, like, Jimmer and Boogie were very good pals, and I'm a big chemistry guy, so I think that was a good pick.
Okay. Let's try this one. Next year, Thomas Robinson.
Oh. Yep.
Dame Lillard was the next pick.
Not ideal.
Was the pick after that. Next year, Ben McLemore, C.J. McCollum, Stephen Adams went within the next 5 picks. Like, it's not like guys that that broke out pick 28th. Like, right. These are like guys within that range.
Kelly Olynyk.
The infamous.
I don't mind the Macklemore pick as much, just because
he kind of fell, so I didn't hate
that.
But then again, you go Stauskas the next year. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
That one made no sense. And then, I mean, hell, even just going to get Willie Cauley-Stein 2 years ago to say, oh, hey, well now, hey, Cousins, you can go play the four with Cauley-Stein, Kosta Koufos. Like, it's just a mess.
Right, and I love Willie Cauley-Stein, but, like, that draft, you're going to look back and wonder how you didn't end up with Winslow or Booker or Trey Lyles, Miles Turner, one of those guys, Moutier even.
Yeah, literally, Cauley-Stein was the last person the Kings had to take there. So,
And even this year, they drafted Chris and then traded him to get another center. Like, what? Like,
and then traded for Scal.
Yeah, well, actually, I like the Scal pick late, but they traded Chris to get the Greek center who's playing like 6 minutes a game. Like, what are you doing? This doesn't help you now or in the future.
So, I mean, so someone asked, what can they do to help besides go back and retrade? Can you trade any of those guys on that roster besides DeMarcus Cousins? Does anybody have trade value?
Willie Cauley-Stein definitely does, especially in this NBA. Like, he's still one of the most athletic bigs in the league. Like, I know I would take him on the Celtics in 2 seconds.
Yeah, Willie, Rudy Gay's playing really well. Like, I think they should sell high on him. Like, he clearly doesn't want to be there.
What's his contract? Well. Is he in the last year of his contract, too?
Yeah.
So you can kind of sell him to a contender at the deadline?
Yeah, I feel like Macklemore might have it. Like, if you just want to say Macklemore was drafted in the same horrible franchise that Boogie was and hope that you can, you know, take a shot on him, I wouldn't have an issue, you know, if somebody took a shot on Macklemore. The rest of the guys, heavens no.
No, I mean, what was it, late 2 seasons ago when Macklemore started, like, had that stretch where he just looked the part of a guy who could start in the NBA and then the Kings somehow screwed it up again?
Yep. Yeah, and even then he's like, he's what, 24, 25 maybe? So he's a young guy. I'd take a flyer on him.
Yeah, he's a real young guy. So, yeah, it's funny looking back on that. I mean, so heading into this year, Coley, you know, you said you watch a lot of, you know, you focus on the freshmen. Have you looked at anybody this year, especially as a Celtics fan? You know, we talked about beforehand, you're hoping the Nets lose this game tonight. Obviously, you guys get that pick. Is there anyone that you're kind of focusing on that when the season starts up of, all right, I want to see how this guy looks with the hope of a top five pick?
Well, I believe this year it's a pick swap, and right now the Celtics are down 34-8 after the first quarter. I think that's just going to be our own pick in the top five. but this draft, it kills me because, I mean, me and Tyler have talked about it a little bit. I start my, like, quote-unquote scouting, like, right after, like, the Jordan Classic and the McDonald's game. That's and the one out in Portland there with the international team, the Nike Hoop Summit.
Yep.
The one who stood out the most to me in terms of, like, playing in those games was Josh Jackson. The one thing that worries me is he's a wing that went to Kansas, and so far Andrew Wiggins in recent history has been the only one to really, like, break out of that curse that they have going on there.
Yeah, that or you drafted
Julian Rice not tearing it up?
not yet.
Xavier Henry's not a star somehow.
Xavier Henry had me duped because I thought his name was fly enough to pull it off, but nope.
And let's not forget about Josh Selby. We can't let him off the hook while we're at it.
Oh, man.
Josh Selby, Wayne Seldon. Like, the list goes on. Why?
Whoa. Let's leave Roxbury's finest, Wayne Seldon, out of this one, Bubba.
No. Let's bring him in there.
Yeah, we got to bring him in.
Engineer.
His uncle will come find you with his big-ass clock.
I have no doubts about that. I believe every word of it.
He has it somehow set up that if you say the name Wayne Seldon, it pops up as a notification.
Oh, for sure. the one thing, like, I'm already sad about this draft, though, because, like, Harry Giles, we haven't seen him play since, like 3 years ago when he was, like, a sophomore in high school because he keeps tearing, like, he keeps alternating tearing ACLs. Yeah. And he's already hurt, like, coming into this season. And it kills me because all of his highlights are, like, some of the most freakish things I've ever seen on a basketball court. When he was playing, he was getting comparisons to Anthony Davis with even more of a developed outside game because he didn't start off as the kid with the breathing problems from Malcolm in the Middle or the youngest brother. And it's just so upsetting to see him already. I don't know. I want to see him play because he would be the most talented player in this draft if he could stay healthy.
Yeah, I don't think it's close. I mean, when you're talking about back to his sophomore year, he was considered at the time the best prospect in all of basketball. And that includes Simmons and even Towns at the time. Yeah, everyone was kind of projecting Giles to be the best of that bunch. But like you said, he tore his ACL in high school, went to Oak Hill, tore his ACL, and now he's getting knee scope and is out for 6 weeks. He's either going to be one of those guys where he's just going to always be injured, never get a chance, or he's going to fall in this draft and someone's getting lucky.
I was like, I think you roll the dice either way.
You have to, right? If he's at like 5, 6.
Yeah, like if he falls that far, I think you just take your shot. Like the thing that sticks out to me against Giles, like he just seems like a really good kid. Like there's nothing but interviews now since he hasn't played in the McDonald's game or any of those. He just seems like a really nice kid. I feel like he'll get it together. And yeah, if he falls to your 6 or 7, I feel like you jump on it, even if his knees are made of paper mache.
And I think it's one of those two where you could get away with it because everyone keeps going, well, he's still good. I haven't seen him play in 3 years, but he has to be good, right? So it's – plus it also going to Duke. If you go to Duke, Kentucky, or if you're like a big man from Kansas, no matter what you do, it's almost like being an Alabama defensive lineman. You're going to get drafted in the first round.
I'll say two red flags. One, he went to Duke. That I just don't like that. I don't want that on my team. Two, Harry Giles, not a strong name.
No, he it's sounds 80.
Name. Yeah, it's not a good name.
I disagree. I like it. It's different. It's unique. It's not like I don't know. There's something about it. He sounds like a plucky guy to me.
See, it sounds like a guy that he always has to correct you because you say Giles and it's Giles.
I wonder if it's short for Harold Giles. He sounds like a man with zero ACL, so this is fitting.
Well, ironically enough, he probably has zero ACL. So you mentioned Jackson at Kansas, who I love as well. I think he's phenomenal. I think he will kind of get the Andrew Wiggins treatment out of Kansas, where he'll put up, I mean, Wiggins put up like 16-7, I want to say, was his average off the bat, or 17-7. Was like second team All-American, and everyone was still like, well, he wasn't that good. That's kind of how I see Jackson playing. Like he's not going to be the one that just completely takes over a game, especially when Kansas has like the veteran guards and Mason and Graham and Self tends to kind of shy away from just giving a freshman a ball right off the bat. I think he should be a top three pick. I mean,
the thing I love about Josh Jackson, like Wiggins is a pretty mild mannered guy. Like if Josh Jackson's not getting touches, he will throw a chalkboard at himself. No, there's no doubt about it.
Like I've had enough of your high low thing. Just get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, get this shit out of here.
He's fascinating to watch.
Yeah, he's a Detroit area kid. Like every highlight of him is just him dunking on someone and then immediately yelling in that person's face to remind them of how loudly he dunked on them. I know he can fight, and that's really what I'm looking for in terms of like a Celtics prospect, because we already have Marcus Smart. We have a lot of other guys, like Jaylen Brown can definitely throw hands. We have a lot of guys who I think he would mesh with really well, even though if it's not the perfect positional fit, I think you just go for best player when you're picking. And I'm looking at Draft Express right now. They have Jason Tatum ahead of them, and I don't understand that at all. Like, they're the exact same height, and like it says they're the same weight, and Josh Jackson looks supremely more athletic than Tatum, who kind of looks like Jabari did when he got to Duke.
Yeah, I mean, Tatum really is just like a – it's hard to compare him because he's going to be Hall of Famer, but he's Paul Pierce. Like, he's not – you could tell me Jason Tatum can't dunk a basketball, and I'd believe you.
Yeah, I could see that. I feel like I saw him in a fast break in, like, the McDonald's game, and I'm pretty sure he took a nice textbook left-handed layup off the square.
Right. So it's – I mean, really, for me, it's like it's Jackson. I'm in love with Markelle Fultz and Dennis Smith, two guards that are just I mean, they're the prototypical guards now when you look at NBA, when you look at the Westbrooks of the world and guys like that. But it's got to be one of those three. Like you said, you know, the Celtics obviously have Isaiah, so you're not going to really – I don't think they would take another point in the top five.
Eh,
You think?
I was going to say, yeah, he's coming up on – that deal's got to be coming up soon, isn't it? This year or next?
I believe it has – I think next year he's in, and then he's a free agent after the season after that, if I recall correctly. Or maybe it's after – Oh no! I think it's after next season. It's up. After next season, it's up. So
okay. Yeah. So, do you want to give 5 years, $250 million to Isaiah Thomas?
Sure don't, Tyler. I sure don't.
That contract. I think Fultz,
I'm a little less sold on Smith. I do want to see him, but yeah, Fultz looks like the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be. I kind of talked about it today. I think he's going to be like the more likable Ben Simmons. Where he's going to put up absurd stats.
That's nonsense. I love Ben Simmons.
Yeah, same.
But I'm saying the general fan.
I think
people don't really – like, they watched LSU last year, and it was just like – it was a combination of Ben Simmons just, like, giving up because he had to play for Johnny Jones, who's
– valid.
Might be the worst coach in America. If he's not, it's Lorenzo Romar from Washington. So Markelle Fultz gets to deal with that.
Right. So Washington keep getting these guys.
Yeah, are people even going to watch him?
I mean, if you have DirecTV, you can't because we don't get the Pac-12 network. I'm going to have to, like, stream it online.
If you want to stay up to 11 to watch them play Gonzaga or St. Mary's, you can watch some Markelle Fultz. But him, I think, I mean, Homer, of course, but De'Aaron Fox, I think he's going to be in that mix.
Yeah. Who do you like better, Fox or Monk?
I like watching Monk play just because – like, he's an athletic marvel, but I think Fox is going to be legit. Like, he is, like, Fultz, Smith, Lonzo Ball, some of these guys come out, and they can get their own shot. They look to. Fox really seems like an old-school point guard, but, you know, he's still 6'3 with a 40-inch vertical, so he can dunk on you if necessary, but yeah. He has no issue, you know, setting a guy up for a shot.
It's someone asked me that not too long ago, and I had to really think about it a second. It was... I mean, this is a Kentucky question, but it was, who do you think is going to be the best college player out of the freshman bunch, and who do you think will be the best NBA player out of the freshman bunch? Because it is two completely different games. Not completely, but it's two different games when you really watch them.
Yep.
Where I think Bam might actually be the best college player out of the three of them.
We got to get my old man traditionally has a habit of not liking whatever five-star recruit Kentucky gets. Like, most famously, he hates Marquise Teague. He's already off the Bam Adebayo wagon. He's not a fan.
Is it because he looks 40?
I don't. He's like, I don't see the hype. I'm like, we're up by 100 points against Clarion. Like, what are you saying right now? I don't see it.
That's such a dad line, though. My dad.
He's a very old man.
I get texts from my dad. Half of it's him trolling, half of it's pissed because he went to Wake Forest and they're just dog shit now.
Sure.
And it's just, well, this team can't shoot. And it's like, it's 2-0. Let's give it a little bit of time.
It's also college, so that's kind of to be expected.
Right. Like, Kentucky's backcourt might not be able to shoot this year. That's just something we're living with. So I guess I'll ask you again. Do you think Fox is going to be the best player both in college and the NBA?
I could see Monk being a better college player, but I do think Fox will be a better pro player.
Yeah, I think you're right, just because in the NBA, the floor is open a little bit more.
Exactly.
College, you know, hell, we see, you know, anytime you watch an SEC game, especially against Kentucky, teams are just running a 2-3 zone and just sitting in the lane. So, you know, I think in the NBA, where you're not really having four guys sit in the paint, Fox will take advantage of that because I don't know who can – in the collegiate game, I don't know who can stay in front of him right now.
I don't think anybody. And again, you know, Monk is a freak athlete, but he's still, what, 6'3", 6'4"? He's not very tall. And when you get to the league, when you're going – you know, you're guarding shooting guards who, even if they're not on your athletic caliber, they're still 6'7", 6'8".
Right.
So, I would take Monk at this level, probably Fox at the next level.
So Coley, when you watch basketball, you know, you're scouting, you're really just watching Kentucky, Duke, maybe Arizona, teams like that. What do you watch for in terms of the players? Of, all right, that's someone I think could be an NBA player. That's someone I want on the Celtics. Is there anything specific you kind of look for in those games?
I'll use Justice Winslow as an example because he was so raw, but every time I watched Duke that year, he stood out the most, more so than who's the point guard that's on the Timberwolves right now?
Tyus Jones.
More so than Tyus Jones, more so than me and Tyler's favorite player, Jahlil Okafor. He was just, and I'll say Rondae Hollis Jefferson too. These guys were just always seemingly in the right place at the right time. Neither of them could shoot. They would somehow hit the shot that needed to be hit. They could pass. They were doing a little bit of everything. And one thing that'll always get me to like someone is seeing them lock down players that aren't going to be making it to the league, just clamping up, playing strong defense. Like, there are some people, Jahlil Okafor, like, this is why I was so low on Jabari Parker. When you get benched against Macon's finest, Mercer.
And don't you ever forget it.
In the first round of the tournament, when you're getting benched because you literally cannot guard fourth-year senior white guys, like, that's a red flag to me.
It's like an accountant somewhere that's like, yeah, I gave Parker 19 points.
I gave him the blues. He'll never forget it. It still wakes him up every night.
I gave him 19-9.
He definitely has the box score printed out and framed, like, on his corner office desk.
It's like above his degree.
Yeah, as well he should too.
Absolutely. Oh right, it's like highlighted.
But other than that, I mean, one thing that I learned when the Celtics took both Purdue Boilermakers, Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore, I thought Juwan Johnson was going to be quite good in the NBA because of how well he looked playing against, what is that, the Big Ten? I don't know those middling conferences.
Yeah, it's the Big Ten.
Yeah, so he
looks...
like
60 to 55 basketball?
That's shockingly, do not care for it. Although the Celtics are lucky to be hitting 60 tonight.
I looked it up. The Big Ten has been the slowest conference out of the slowest tempo conference out of the main six conferences every year since 2002.
Jesus
Dear
Christ.
God.
How do you just, that's, one team just needs to play fast and none of them will.
That's hideous.
Like, Penn State just needs to be like, fuck it. We're subbing five people every 30 seconds and running up and down the court.
Like, how does Izzo not do that? Like, Izzo gets blue chip talent. Like, why is he slowing it down with like four and five star guys?
Because like Zach Randolph couldn't get up and down the court when he was in college.
You got to throw it into Deontay Davis.
Yeah, I mean, they should this year with like Miles Bridges, another five star guy, and Langford is another five star guy. But yeah, I mean, Cole, I'll let you get back to what you're saying in a second. But yeah, the Big Ten needs just one team just needs to play fast for the love of TV.
Is Indiana Big Ten?
Yep.
Correct.
All right. I'm a big college guy, as you can see. last year, a guy who stayed, and I don't hate him for staying, although I think he should have come out because of how weak last year's draft was in comparison to this year, OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
He's another guy who falls in that Justice Winslow, Rondae Hollis Jefferson, where he was just always he didn't put up monster stats, but every time I watched – he stood out, and Thomas Bryant stood out a lot, too. I don't know why he also didn't enter the draft.
I was like, that's where I thought you were going, Bryant, because he could have went pretty high in this draft.
That's what I thought, too.
Yep, no, I mean, I'm here to throw curveballs, guys. I don't know what you want. OG fits that Justice Winslow mold of just, like, he's not going to shoot 45% from three. He's not going to be a go-to scorer, but I'll take a guy like that who I know – is going to hike up his shorts and get into a defensive stance and just lock someone down and then run down the other end of the court and yam it on someone's neck. I'll take a guy like that on my squad every day of the week.
So you would have taken Victor Oladipo out of Indiana?
Oh, see, Oladipo to me was like, he was too, like Tyler was saying about Monk, he was athletic, but he was too short to play two. But that draft was also such dog shit. Yeah, I would have taken him pretty high.
Yeah, it literally just the way you're saying it, and I know Tyler just loves Oladipo.
Big fan.
He just reminded me of kind of that, where he, in college, he wasn't a shooter, but he would lock anybody down and had ridiculous dunks.
OG's also 6'8", so it's a little different. Like, right. I could see him getting a little bit more of a well-rounded game, and he seems like a very, like, I didn't see him make a lot of dumb mistakes. Like, he seemed to be, like, just playing smart basketball anytime he stepped on the court.
Plus, it's also kind of like the Tom Crean tax.
Yep.
Like I feel like if a guy goes into Tom, like you've got to weigh that in your evaluations.
Like you got to screw loose if you got to screw loose if you go play for Tom Crean.
Yeah, if you voluntarily, like if you're like a 4 or 5 star guy and you go play, like why is Thomas Bryant playing at Indiana?
Right. I don't think he's from there either. Off the
That's
top
what
of
I'm
head.
Saying. Like, yeah, if you weren't born in Bloomington, why are you playing at Indiana?
I mean, the other thing with OG is he's got to get at least 3 or 4 slots higher in the draft just because of his name. Like, you have to be good with that name.
See, if Harry Giles had his name, that's a lot.
He's the number one pick.
That's a lot.
Like, Markelle Fultz, that's a solid name.
I'm not as sold on Dennis Smith. It's not a great name.
No.
Yeah, Jason Tatum, that's the strongest thing he's got going for him is his name. Like, he could be a boxer if basketball doesn't work out for him.
Yeah, but with the Y in Jason, though?
That's why I like it.
You like it because of the Y?
I'm a big – I mean, I'm Coley. I'm a big – you throw right. a Y in a name. You're talking to Tyler and Coley.
Well, I'm Bobby. I got a Y in mine, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know why we're all not on this.
Big Grayson Allen fan, are you?
Why don't we all just calm down and relax? We're all friends here.
I've had a few guys, excuse me.
So, yeah, how are you feeling today after your tweets last night of just you were feeling pretty good last night.
Yeah, I woke up for better or worse, so there's that.
So I want to touch on a couple things that I know you guys have talked on mixtape. And it is Anthony Davis in New Orleans. I know you guys said you don't feel bad for him because of his contract and the fact that he's
23. Coley said he didn't feel bad. Let's get that straight.
Okay. Coley said he didn't feel bad because he's 23, living in New Orleans, and making just an absurd amount of money. You don't feel bad that Tim Frazier is his starting point guard?
I have a heart.
Listen, they have Langston Galloway, former New York Knicks great, if they want to switch it up. They have Etuan Moore. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's more of New Orleans' fault than his. I've seen him get on courts before. He seemed to hold his own.
It's the reason I've in a discussion with my friends about this, where it's I don't feel bad because he did sign that contract, knowing all right, I don't have the best situation here, but you can, I mean, Amir Ashik has to be the worst contract in basketball, right?
It's got to be up there.
I mean, he can't play.
He's not good. And then they gave the backup money and the back Ayinka. He's also not good at basketball.
I mean, I was looking at their starting five. I remember on like opening night, and it was like Tim Frazier, Etuan Moore, former Celtic great,
Solomon Hill.
Solomon Hill, Anthony Davis, and they might have started Ajinka on opening night.
And well, let me say, Anthony Davis signed that deal, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, right after they made the playoffs, after they made that A seed. So if you're thinking, he's thinking he's on the way, like he signed that deal, they fired Monty Williams, and it's been shit since then.
Listen, he signed that deal after Eric Gordon nearly quit basketball because the Pelicans re-signed him. Like, that's the biggest red flag. Like, Eric Gordon was like, please let me go to Phoenix so they can fix my knees. And New Orleans was like, no, we're not even going to talk to you during this whole contract process. We're just going to match whoever tries to sign you, and you're going to be stuck here for the rest of your life.
Playing hard to get, are you?
Because if you can get 3 guards who just have no desire to pass the ball, and Eric Gordon, Drew Holiday, and Tyreke Evans, you have to.
Yeah,
I actually like Drew.
But he doesn't have knees. Like, he can't stay on the court.
Drew Giles.
Pretty much. I mean, I just take it back. I do really like Holiday. When he got traded, I thought it wasn't the worst trade in the world because he was coming off an All-Star game, starting to shoot better, and he was a good defender. But
yeah, when he used to play Rajon Rondo, that was when Rondo was with the Celtics, that was his toughest matchup of the year. Like, he used to just get in his grill, got him 90 feet. Like, he was real great until his knees disintegrated.
Yeah, so I guess I should take Holiday out just because it's been injury. But you gotta feel. I mean, you gotta feel a little bit bad for him with that roster.
See, I never liked that trade because the trade it was Holiday and it turned out to be for Nerlens and Elfrid. Nerlens and Elfrid Payton, who, you know, however you feel about those guys now, I feel like that's more of a natural progression instead of what New Orleans did. Like, just like Anthony Davis was like 20 and they were like, yes, let's give everybody 5-year deals. We need to win 42 games right now.
Yeah, and I guess looking in hindsight, being 2020, having Noel with Davis as your 4 and 5, I mean, teams aren't scoring on that.
And sure.
Like if you tank the next year, like you get, you know, better draft picks than whoever they ended up getting. So maybe you've got Nerlens, Elfrid, Davis, and I don't even know who's in that next draft. But you get a better not Austin Rivers.
Oh. Victor Oladipo?
Yeah, you get the Vic man.
Better than Austin Rivers.
Correct.
But even like this year, I mean, the Pelicans just don't make sense to me. Like this year, they take Buddy Hield, and this is not me trying to be a homer, but instead of Jamal Murray, who's kind of the same player but 3 years younger, like why wouldn't you just take a younger player?
I agreed 100%.
I think teams got real. I think like that he was always going to go higher than Murray because teams were just so worried they were going to miss out on the next Steph Curry. Like, I never bought into that, but after the year Buddy Hield had and everyone kept showing how many threes he hit in comparison to Steph, like, they played in the same situations at all. And, like, Buddy Hield had real teammates. Like, he could shoot wide-open threes. Steph was basically IJ Hunter, like, at Georgia State, except good. I never understood any of that, but I think teams were definitely afraid of missing out on that. And then, Murray somehow got the Miles Turner treatment where they were like, oh, we don't like his gait. Like, his hips don't move the correct way. It's like, this dude's a sharpshooter. Like, just fucking take him.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I wasn't insane.
45.
What'd you say?
I'd say, like, he's 19. He's not 45. If you don't like his walk, 45, maybe. At 19, I think I'd roll the dice.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I wasn't insane in thinking that the Pelicans were just insane for not, again, like, they had, what, the fifth pick or sixth pick? Again, just take the guy that's younger that's essentially the same player, which is just pretty much my belief on anything.
Yep.
Especially basketball-related.
That's why I was all in on James Young over Rodney Hood. They both shot 37.5% from three. James Young was just like 10 years younger. I thought it was a pretty obvious move.
Apparently not.
I can't believe James Young's not a better NBA player.
It makes a little bit of sense. I think, like, last year when we were playing the Hawks in the playoffs and all of our guards were hurt and he still couldn't get on the court, like, it just makes me think he shows up to practice, sits on, like, the Lucky logo printed at half court and just chain smokes blunts. Like, I can't imagine he practices.
I mean, let me just say this. At 18 years old, James Young was sitting next to Rihanna at a game. Would you want to wake up early for practice the next morning?
No.
It's a fair point.
No, I mean, he was coming off a year of having one of the most famous dunks in the championship game sitting next to Rihanna. And then, like you said. But I shouldn't say that. I didn't expect him to be great, but I just can't believe he can't even get on the court.
And then when he gets on the court, we don't even, like, we hide him in the corner. It's like, why don't we move him around the perimeter and try to get him some open threes, considering that is the one NBA skill he does possess.
Right. That and jumping ability. That's about it.
I like Rihanna's NBA skill. Like, that's a plus in my book. But sitting next to her.
Yeah, he knows what her chair smells like. That's a pretty big skill.
I had him high on my board.
What now? I guess for both of you, but Tyler, I'll start with you. The Kentucky guys in the NBA under Cal, how would you rank them in terms of, you know, you're starting a team, you're starting the Trill franchise.
Yes.
Wall, Booker, Bledsoe, Towns, Davis. How do you rank that? What's your board look like of Kentucky Cal guys?
I think it's Towns number one. I think you got to go Towns number one.
Find the answer to the question I heard.
Alexa's screaming at me. Yeah, she's not a fan. I go Cat number one, Davis number two. After that, it gets like you could talk me into Cousins, you could talk me into Wall, you could talk me into Booker. But for now, I'd probably go Cousins. Those would probably be my top three: Cat, AD, and Boogie.
Do you agree, Coley?
I certainly agree on Cat. Yeah. I haven't made any secrets about it since he was in high school. How much I've been, I think obsessed right now is the correct word, with Karl Anthony Towns Jr.
More or less.
Yeah, I mean it's not too creepy yet, but it's approaching that point. I would put Kyle number one, and I'm gonna put Devin Booker two here.
Wow,
that's fair.
It's such a god heavy league right now, and he has the outside of Steph, he has the silkiest shot in the league. There's just like every time he put it up, like when he was at Kentucky, I thought it was going down. Like, and when he missed, I was like, get him the ball right back because he's not missing two in a row.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
Right. And when he got to the league, I thought it would take him longer to adjust because he was so young. He is so light-skinned. He was a little more frail, and it just didn't. His handles seemed to have improved. Like 3 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised if he was like a top five scorer league-wide. So I'm going to put him there. And then I'm going to put Boogie third because I'm never going to turn my back on Boogie. Anthony Davis would be the smart play second here, but I'm not all about the smart play all the time.
You just don't like Anthony Davis. Let's talk about it.
What did Anthony Davis do to you?
Yeah, what happened here?
I do like Anthony Davis. I think he's a very good player. I honestly just don't like his face. Like, his teeth are messed up. He's got the eyebrow. If he had a better, like, he doesn't look like a superstar in the face. Like, he is a superstar. He's one of the best players on the planet. He'll probably go down as one of the greatest players of all time. He just, and his face. He needs to work on his face.
That's fair.
I guess, yeah. It's like the name thing we said. If you don't have, you gotta have a good face, you gotta have a good name.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fair is fair.
Yeah, I guess I was more curious to see. I'm total agreement that Towns is the best of that group, or will be the best of that group when you're projecting. I think he already is the best of the group. Which is kind of shocking if you had asked me, with them coming into college, who do you think would be the best pro? And Davis just kind of having the guard background, as everyone who ever watched college basketball in 2012 heard, was
his what? What he used to be a guard? What are you saying to me right now?
And can you believe Willie Cauley-Stein played football?
No.
Yeah, 7 foot receiver. Bet you never heard that one.
No, you're thinking of Jimmy Graham, who played basketball.
That too.
That's Tony Gonzalez, fool.
And Antonio Gates. But what's weird, I guess with the way the NBA has moved, I always just figured Davis would be the prototypical five in the new NBA, but Towns is kind of taking that over. I was curious what you guys thought about that and Booker, because everyone has him as the most improved player this year. Everything along those lines, breakout player, however the hell you want to call him, that it's almost like he's going to go from a little underrated to a little overrated, which is kind of crazy to think. Just because I don't trust the Suns. I mean, they just play seven Kentucky guards and big guys that aren't that good.
Yeah, I don't see the issue with that. I would like to see like a Suns-Kings like playoff series where it was just 10 Kentucky guys. Like five Kentucky bigs versus five Kentucky guards. That's kind of like an old Red Auerbach practice. Like, I think that would just be electric.
Cal's just throwing up the game ball, just rubbing his nipples. He just can't believe it.
Just constantly talking about his sons. So, Tyler, I threw this out to you on Twitter. I want to ask you now here on record, obviously, you watch Kentucky basketball all the time. What are your favorite teams? What are your favorite teams of Cal? Because every team's different since he's taken over. Do you defer right away to the 12 title team?
I do. Like it's cliche, but yeah,
you
like
have, that was amazing. You have year. To, right?
Like you got to have the number one. Like MKG MKG, Nerlens, and Tyler Ulis are my three favorite Wildcats of all time.
We got two out of the same three.
Who? Which one? Euless.
Euless, who I'm determined to be best friends with at some point, since we're about the same height. I just want somebody in my group that I'm taller than.
That's valid.
And I love the fact that he chirped DeMarcus Cousins in a pickup game and tried fighting him.
Oh yeah, I love Euless.
Euless and Kid Gilchrist. I don't know. You find me one person who doesn't like Michael Kid Gilchrist, and I'll call them a liar to their face.
I'll fight about it.
No
questions about it.
I think that's in like the rule book as a Kentucky fan, or just a basketball fan.
I accidentally referred to Kid Gilchrist as Michael Carter Williams on one of our shows, and I heard Tyler getting his keys to start driving up here.
That's honestly the biggest insult I've ever heard.
Broke a bottle over a counter, like just an instinct.
That's so mean to call him Michael Carter Williams.
No, I didn't do it intentionally. Like, it would be a good dig considering they shoot about very similarly, but I'm not a big.
That's also an insult to Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
I'm getting upset.
Listen, when he stops like having a seizure mid jump shot, like, then I'll stop making fun of it. But I'm a big
motherfucker.
I'm a big MKG guy. I would still take him and his one shoulder every day of the week.
Yeah, save is done. There's no more. I've got 2012 first. Second, the 38 no team. Like, it's crazy how that team went 38-0 and they just canceled the Final Four. Like, I don't know if it was like budget cuts. Final Four just never happened that year. That's amazing.
Terrorism attack. They're a threat. They just said, nah, sorry, we can't make it to Indianapolis.
Like, in 5 years, you're gonna look back at that team and say, like, they had Cat, Booker.
It's gonna be like the 01 Miami football team where you go back and it's just roster porn.
See, but they won. Like, they've got the title to show for
right,
it.
Right, right.
Like that. That's the only. Like, you're gonna look back and be like, how did a team with an 18-year-old Karl Anthony Towns, Euless, Booker, like the Harrisons, Collin Stein, and all those guys,
like, even a guy like Andrew Harrison, who's a starter getting minutes in the pros, you look at that roster and it's just again, how did they not win?
Yeah, then that's number two. And the 2010, Cal's first year was my last year at Kentucky, the John Wall Boogie year. So that's
hate you. That was my first year out. So
just a personal favorite, just going to the games, like just seeing Cal out and about, just seeing those guys out and about, meeting my close personal friend, DeMarcus Cousins.
I have the same top three as you, but I'm so tempted to put that Wall team down a little bit just because of how jealous I was that everybody got to watch good basketball at Kentucky a year after. I didn't. I went to a football school.
Who's your least favorite? That's always like to ask, who's the least favorite Kentucky team, Kentucky fan?
Probably, I mean, it's close between the James Young, Julius Randle team and the Nerlens team.
Mine's just 2011, the Brandon 19. That is my least favorite by far.
Oh, I really like Knight and Liggins.
See, I liked Liggins. I'll never forgive Brandon Knight for going 6-23 against UConn. I'll never, ever let that slide.
Yeah, that was not fun. But
like, Canner was in. Like, we lost to UConn, who beat Butler like 16-15 in that final. We would have won that final.
It was 22-19 in the first half in that final.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, that's my least favorite by far.
See, mine. I never liked Archie Goodwin.
I loved Archie. I didn't like Poitras.
I love Poitras.
My thing was like Archie does too much. I can deal with that. You can scale back too much. Poitras is like more athletically gifted than anybody guarding him. Is like, nah.
See, I was the guy that always found a reason for an excuse for Poitras.
Shame on you.
Like, yeah, he can't dribble the ball, but it's because his hands are too big. I'd come up with random shit like that.
It's because of 4.0 GPA. He's too busy book reading.
He was too busy trying to be smart.
For shame.
But you need that. That's how Kentucky stays eligible.
Yeah, you take the good with the bad, but yeah, that was not a fun. I just loved Nerlens so much and didn't like Ryan Harrow so much that I kind of blocked that from memory. So that's why 2011 gets the nod as my least favorite team.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's clear you got the top three with the title team, the 38-0 team in the first year with Wall and that group, just because it was, oh shit, Kentucky's good again. Which, you know, you look at like the NBA, like the Celtics, when Celtics, Knicks, Lakers, Bulls are all good, NBA's good, great. Probably not as much now as with, I mean, because you can watch it anywhere, but back in the day. But with college basketball, it's like when Kentucky, Duke, UNC, UCLA, Indiana are good, more people tend to care.
I'm hyped for it. Like, I mean, I don't really care about any of those other schools, but as long as we're good, I'm like, UCLA can make the NIT for all I care. But as long as we're winning 35 games, I'm good with it.
I mean, I hope UNC makes the NIT and Duke makes the NIT. I'm completely fine with that. I don't want them to be good as a fan.
I was just saying, Duke is stacked. Like, we haven't even talked about, like, Frank Jackson. And I think Frank, like, anything I've seen of Frank Jackson, Coley and I talked about it, Frank Jackson's been incredible.
Yeah.
And then the little bit I've seen from him.
Shit, Jay Williams said he's pretty much like him.
I think he's a better athlete and a better shooter than Jay Williams as a freshman.
Which is insane when you...
Which is terrifying. Jay Williams is still one of the best college players I've ever seen.
I got into it with people about how Jay Williams is probably one of the 5 to 7 best players I've seen, like, since, like, 2000, especially since, like, 2000, or probably, like, one of the top 10 players I've ever seen in college basketball.
He's up there for sure.
His sophomore year was unbelievable.
Was that the year that was, what, Dunleavy?
Battier, him. Was Boozer on that team?
He might have been.
I think Boozer was on that team.
It's so crazy. Like if Brandon Ingram gets a lot of shit. Like, if Brandon Ingram wrecked on a motorcycle right now and just ended his career, I feel like that'd be a pretty big story. Or if he overdosed on cocaine, I feel like that'd also be a pretty big story.
We gotta stop killing Brandon Ingram.
He's like a nice enough kid, but he shouldn't have been doing coke on that motorcycle.
And calling his agent right away.
Yeah, I've no sympathy for him.
Just to touch on Frank Jackson, because I'm also enamored with him. I keep looking at the Draft Express top 100 prospects, and I don't see his name anywhere in here. Like, I saw Melo Trimble in here, which is perplexing to say the least.
Melo Trimble is JV Scotty Reynolds.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that seems accurate and insulting at the same time. Like,
it's meant to be.
I see a lot of Slavic names in here that will never make an impact on an NBA team. Like, I don't know what's going on with Draft Express. Maybe they don't know Frank Jackson's an alive human being, but
he's a Mormon. You got to figure, like, he's going to stay 6 years. Maybe that's what it is. Like, if you check the 2020 draft names.
Is he a Mormon? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Frank Jackson is, in fact, a Mormon.
He came out recently, he's not doing a mission. He said, like, he's missioned basketball.
He's, like, pissed about it. That's a red flag.
Yeah, he's off my draft board entirely now.
Maybe that's why Draft Express doesn't have him on.
It's the best theory I've heard, and I lend a lot of credence to it.
Frank, I mean, he's also going to be a little bit buried this year. Like, he should be good, but, I mean, with Allen, Tatum, Kennard, Matt Jones, it's going to take a lot for him to kind of make a point. So I think you'll see him be the guy who, as a sophomore, is the one that's putting up like 18 points a game and is all of a sudden like a top 15 pick.
It's bound to happen.
It has to, right? There's always somebody at Duke that does that.
I'm looking at this top 100 now. There's really no Frank Jackson here. That's amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I thought, like, I'm not a big time reader, so I thought maybe I just missed it. But no, I've checked it like 4 or 5 times. He's just not here.
Also, Malik Monk is 18, which is preposterous.
Yeah,
he should be higher.
Absolutely. If you're talking about next year's draft, I don't feel like there are 18 or 17 better prospects than Malik Monk.
No, he's one of the 10 best in college basketball.
You don't think Rodoyne's Kurix is better than him?
I don't know, man. Tyler Lydon from Syracuse might light it up.
Oh.
I don't even know who that is, though.
That's
Lauri Markkanen. Get this out of here.
Lauri Markkanen is the guy that nobody has seen play because he's from Finland, but he scored like 58 points a game in like the U18.
He should. It's Finland.
Well, in like the U18 tournament. But again, he's playing for Finland, so their offense was probably get Laurie the ball, you four stay back on defense.
If Laurie changes his last name because it's Markkanen, if he changes his name to Laurie McConan, I'm taking him top three.
That's pretty good.
What about Laurie McConnell?
Off the board.
That sounds like a playmate. Like December playmate of the month, Laurie McConnell. What do you guys make of Ivan Rabb?
I thought he should. I think it was dumb for him to come back. He's the worst thing that happened to him is there was a late transfer from Cal too. One of their guards transferred to Gonzaga as a grad transfer. So it's literally the offense is going to be 75% him this year. So he has a chance to ball out, but I don't think he's going to be that much better to where it's going to improve his draft stock. Like I don't want to knock a kid for making a decision because it's his life and not mine. And I would love to be able to say I'm still going to go make millions of dollars. But he's a weird player. Like he's not really able to stretch the floor. He's not 7 foot, so he's not like your traditional big guy. I don't know why he came back to school.
Yeah, last year he would have been top 10 pick.
Or at least top 15. Like he was going to be late lottery.
For sure. And like I said earlier, last year's draft compared to this year's is probably going to be night and day. So, I mean, I respect him for coming back on a very small level, but I would have went and got that money if I were him. Those contracts aren't guaranteed. He could get hit by a bus tomorrow. So, very strange.
Or he could fall. I mean, everything's kind of slotted where you go. He's like I said, it's a loaded draft this year. It's an absolutely loaded draft this year.
The thing I love about this draft, it's kind of guards that kind of went like Fultz went to Washington, Dennis Smith with the NC State. So they're going to get to run the show. Like if you're Rab and you don't have a good guard, you're just going to be stuck with 11 points a game. Like, we're going to have no idea how good you are.
Yeah. So he's an interesting one. I'm curious to watch him play. Just because it's going to be like last year, you had Jaylen Brown there, obviously, who was the guy, and you had a couple guards that could help. This year, it's really him and one other guard.
Yeah, so he's like you said, he's not really big enough. He's probably not a center, but he also can't stretch the. So if he can't stretch the floor or protect the rim, I don't know where that fits in today's game. Like, right or wrong, I just don't know where it fits.
Yeah, and Draft Express, I hate to keep giving them free advertising, but it's really all I use. They have Ivan Rabb slotted 11 higher than Thomas Bryant, who has, an NBA body and is, 40 pounds heavier despite being the same height. And, when I watch Indiana, Thomas Bryant stands out on the court. Ivan Rabb, he's so rail thin, if he were a better shooter from outside, like you two were saying, I could understand that body type, but moving to the next level, especially when again, Marcus Bolden, who is a guy I'm very high on, who we haven't even touched on.
Who also hurt his knees.
I'm obsessed with those kind of guys.
Yeah, you'll love Duke this year. Cause everybody's just hurt.
Everybody's got one knee. Big fan.
Yeah. They can share. They can stitch them all together and share. But if I had to take one of those two guys gun to my head, I'm gonna take Bolden every single time.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially. I just don't understand why guys came back this year. This was the worst year for somebody to come back. If they were a first round pick, this was the worst year for them to come back with the way the freshman class is.
Yeah, because it seems like if you come back this year and don't kill it, you're gonna have to come back another year.
Right, and now you're 21. 2021 coming out instead of 18-19.
He's probably going to be a better player, but he's going to lose up a lot of money. I haven't looked at 2018. I don't know what that draft's looking like, but there's no way it's as stacked as 2017.
No, it's not. I mean, you got Michael Porter and DeAndre Ayton, and then
yeah. Ayton's supposed to be the real deal.
So is
he
Porter.
Didn't go to Kentucky. That's a red flag.
Well, at least he went to Arizona. If you went to at least Duke, like I said, Duke, Kentucky, Arizona or you're a big guy from Kansas, I probably trust you.
See, I feel like Duke, like if you're a one and done, if you don't go to Duke or Kentucky, or if you're a point guard, like again, that wants to go to Washington and just get every play called for you, that's fine. But outside of that, I gotta do some investigating.
Now, what would you do with like Malik Newman, who fucked up the first time by going to Mississippi State and then transferred to Kansas?
Like exactly, like nobody's ever gonna hear Malik Newman's name again. He could have went to Kentucky and averaged 8 points a game and still went first round.
Oh yeah,
like based off a weak draft and name recognition. That's a fact.
So like Isaiah Briscoe.
Oh, how dare you! Isaiah Briscoe is the leader of this team.
That's Union County native Isaiah Briscoe to you.
I will fight you, and also he is from New Jersey. He will fight you.
Yeah. He will fight. I live too close to New Jersey now to be saying things like that.
I don't know how much Briscoe you've seen. That jumper looks—it's night and day.
So like, I know a guy who coached at his high school for his rival high school. So he coached against him his whole life growing up and whatnot. And last year when I was talking to him, I was like, what the hell happened? Like, it's like his jumper has never been this bad. So
it's like he wasn't in free throws. Like he was shooting like 40s, 50s from free throws. That's terrible.
And a lot of people kind of made the assumption, it's a good one, that the weight and muscle he put on last year just fucked with his whole motion.
It might be. I just know, you know, in the limited bit I've seen him, you know, more up a quick 90, 95 points on Asbury. That jumper has looked much improved.
It does.
It looks just a lot smoother.
Is he wearing a less tight T-shirt, too? Because I think that could help.
Impossible. That's a trick question. There are no less tight T-shirts than the ones that Isaiah Briscoe chooses to wear.
He's like the opposite of Julius Hodge. Remember Julius Hodge just wore like the baggiest Hanes T-shirt underneath his jersey?
Him and Chris Douglas Roberts and Rodney Carney.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Sam Bradford like sleeves just flapping in the wind.
Chris Douglas Roberts was wearing like 4XL tall tees under his jersey like 6 years after like they went out of style. I respected it so much.
Oh. Well, we're coming up on an hour, so I'll let you guys get out of here. Anything that you guys are watching specifically, obviously, Tyler, you're watching Kentucky and college basketball, but outside of that, anything specific you're watching as an NBA fan, player, team name, anything like that?
I mean, like NBA or college?
Well, as an NBA guy watching college, what are you, outside of Kentucky, what are you watching for?
Rab, first of all, like I just really want to see how he develops. Like I feel like there are tools there. I don't know what he's going to do with them. And Fultz, like I feel like Fultz is just going to get the green light, and the bit I've seen of him has been incredible. So if he just goes off and averages, you know, 25 and 5 the whole year, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
No, I would agree with you there. Coley, what about you?
I'm currently in talks with the country of Australia to somehow live stream all of Terrence Ferguson's games because he's by far the smartest player to be coming into the next draft. He's the only one who didn't go to college.
He wasn't going to be eligible to go to college.
Listen, Brandon Jennings didn't. It worked out just well for him.
It's going to work out great for Ferguson.
Yeah, look, as we discussed, school is trash. Yep. So including high school. So Terrence Ferguson, when I saw him this summer, I had the exact same vibes as I did when I saw Gerald Green, which is a red flag to some people. It's the biggest green flag to me. I don't even know if green flags are a thing. They are now. This guy jumps out the gym and he's just going to wet three. I talked about how I look for like defense and Justice Winslow types. Terrence Ferguson couldn't be further from that. He jacks threes and he dunks on people's necks. I also very much enjoy that. I'm all in on Terrence Ferguson. I can't wait for no one to remember he's an alive human being because he's playing in Australia and he's just going to come in next year and be an absolute delight.
Well, it's like, wow, that's my only issue. Like, I wanted him, like, whatever all-star game that was where he hit, like, 6 threes, I was like, Cal needs to be on the – like, he was committed to, I think, like, Alabama or somebody.
Alabama, and then was committed to Arizona.
I was like, Cal can – like, you can flip to Alabama in a heartbeat. And it's like, no, I want to go play against the great down under. What are you doing, Terrence?
Well, look, if we look at what Australia's done recently. We got Dante Exum, we got Kyrie Irving, we got Ben Simmons. Terrence Ferguson, no, there's something in that water down there. It goes a different way in the toilets. He's going down there to study these things. He's going to come back bigger, stronger, dunking on more people. He's probably going to box some kangaroos. He's going to be ready.
I mean,
if you play for a team called the 36ers, I'm out. I'm out. What a random number. I'm out.
But here, if you had to spend a year somewhere, would you rather spend a year in Australia or a year playing for, like, Russ Smith's coach? Because that's what you're getting out there in Europe. Well, Australia's, like, a little too nice.
That's a good point. Like, see, but here's the thing, though. In Australia, like, are they going to give you that strict coaching that Russ Smith, like, that overly strict coaching that Russ Smith coach gave him?
No way. It's Australia. They probably said, oh, wait, you're a black guy from America? Here, just do whatever you want.
Here's the ball. Like, just, yeah, like, is that going, like, to be good for his game? You know, coach.
He's like Kobe.
What was his name, Coley?
Terrence Ferguson.
No, the coach, Russ's coach. Oh,
you think these are things I remember? Hold on. I think I got it. Hold on. Let me see.
There was a lot of vowels. I know
it's
that.
Not important. He's rude as fuck is basically the sentiment I'm trying to get across.
Urgin Ottoman.
A lot of vowels.
Terrence didn't hit in threes. He was bad. I don't like his deodorant. He stinks. He's not a nice person. I'm talking about Terrence Ferguson.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Australia, he could go 0 for 14, and the coach would probably be like, well, I mean, he, like, brought the team Taco Bell. He
had some good looks.
He rebounded. His form was good. His attitude was there.
There's a lot to build on. We've got some stuff to build on.
I think I would go with Australia.
That's I think what we have here is J.R. Smith 2.0 on the horizon.
Well, you know I'm all in for that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't think J.R. Smith would play for the 36ers for a cool, like, $1 million for a few months? Of course he would.
The Adelaide 36ers. Jesus Christ.
That's such a terrible name.
It's awful.
It sounds like a brand of juice you can only buy in a small town in, like, rural Missouri.
And the people there swear, you've never had the Adelaide 36? Oh, man. You got to go to Branson, Missouri.
I think I've sold you on both. Terrence Ferguson, and I think you're going to be like a minority owner for the 36ers by like midnight tonight.
We could probably, like, all three of us, we chip in like a cool 100. We could all probably be minority owners of the Adelaide 36ers.
You send me the paperwork.
I'd be interested.
How's it? Let me get you guys Venmo, and we'll we'll make this happen.
I mean, there's some content right there. People want to support us. Venmo us money, and we'll let you be minority owners. Like, you each can own 1% while we own the 33% each a person.
I'm game.
Yeah, I'm 36ers till I die.
I got no problem getting an Adelaide 36ers tat on my face.
Get one on my my neck like Deshaun Stevenson. Well, all right, I'll let you guys get out of here. Thanks a lot for coming on. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably listen to their stuff. But if not, check it out, Mixtape. It's a great podcast. A lot of bullshitting like this and a lot of Tyler threatening Coley over something mm-hmm. Kentucky-related, which is mm-hmm. always a win in my book. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you guys at on Twitter?
I mean, Tyler, I am. On Twitter, reasonable takes.
And I am at Coley Mick on the Twitter machine.
All right, and then follow the show at Storm the Court PC. Follow me if you're not already at Barstool Reegs. Again, guys, thanks for coming on.
Everybody's ready to go. He's ready to go. I'm ready to go. And you're ready to go.
Diggy V, baby. He's a PTP-er. He's a high flyer.
It is super scintillating, sensational, baby.
That's awesome, baby, with a capital A.